This hour of the Howie Car Show podcast is brought to you by the Howie Car Show store. If you can't get enough of Howie, you can buy Howie's books, t-shirts, and more. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
Apparently it says Bolton was told Trump wanted to continue freezing money to Ukraine until they helped with probes of the Bidens. Is this a big, big, big story?
There is nothing here. I can prove it to you. Buried in the story, it says, oh yeah, and this conversation happened right around the time President Trump got back from this meeting. Well, they leave the date out. The date was August 18th. Well, why is that significant? Because the Ukrainians didn't even find out for another basically 2 weeks that the aid was even on hold.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
To have a fair trial, and we think that would be with witnesses and documentation. Now the ball is in their court to either do that or pay a price.
Bolton and the contemporaneous documents, all the more reason it should come before us.
So where's Hunter? Where the hell are you, Hunter?
Who's your captain?
That's partly him playing to their base and the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one and there are y'all elitists are dumb.
You elitists with your geography and your maps and your spelling, even though my
math and your reading.
Yeah, your reading, your geography, knowing other countries, sipping your latte.
All those lines on the map.
And you wonder why we don't like you.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter were among the 9 victims who died in a helicopter crash in Southern California yesterday.
I've always said that I wanted to be remembered as a player that didn't waste a moment, didn't waste a day. I felt extremely blessed by the God-given talent. But at the same time, I didn't take it for granted.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Did he just call me a boomer rube or a rube boomer? I plead guilty on either count. I plead guilty to being a redneck and a hillbilly and a bitter clinger and a deplorable and an irredeemable. I plead guilty to all that stuff. And you know what? We're going to reelect Trump in about 10 months, all of us boomer rubes or rube boomers. Welcome to the Howie Car Show, 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Car Show. And today's a great day to get on the chump line if you'd like to leave a recorded voicemail message that we may or may not play in about an hour from now on the air. 844-500-4242. Just call that number toll free. Press 2 for the chump line, and you'll be ready to go if we decide to put your call up on the air. With us now is Grace. Grace is back home in Massachusetts. I'll be back next week, but I'm down here for the time being. Grace, are you there?
I am here, Howie. I am back in chilly Massachusetts. Actually, not a bad day. The weather's, it's definitely not Palm Beach, but it's better than what I expected. Let's put it like that. I want to start the news with some really sad news. The helicopter crash with Kobe Bryant was yesterday. His daughter died as well. She was 13 years old, Gianna. Several other people died, including a former Cape League coach, John Altobelli, and his family were in the helicopter crash. Mm-hmm. Just a horrible story all around. Really, really sad. And our prayers are with all of those people that were affected by that tragedy. I also want to talk a little bit about Joe Biden here. Joe Biden's bias comes through in trying to outwoke competition. This was a really interesting op-ed from the New York Post. He doesn't sound very moderate when he says there is no room for compromise on transgender equality. It is the civil rights issue of our time, he tweeted last week, elevating it above women's equality, racial equality, and even climate justice, an issue he once told us was an existential threat. So now what we have
climate is... Climate justice means he wants to shut down all fracking operations in, say, Pennsylvania. And incidentally, there's a big story in the New York Times. Did you see that today, Grace?
No.
They're starting to flip out about that. They're looking at the employment numbers for fracking in places like Michigan and Pennsylvania, and they're realizing hundreds of thousands of likely voters are going to somehow very quickly realize that all of the Democrats, Bernie, Comrade Bernie, and the fake Indian, but all of them want to shut down fracking.
Yeah, it's interesting because Joe Biden said that on Twitter. He hasn't taken questions, Howie, from reporters in a really long time. It's something absurd. They were asking him today to take questions, which is funny because if Trump doesn't have a press conference every 2 days, they get mad, even though he constantly is. Even the liberals have to sometimes admit that he is the most open president that we've ever had.
Well, they have the most access angry, to him. They're angry, though, that he's doing it in front of Marine One before he goes to a rally. And they're also angry because Stephanie Grisham, his press secretary, doesn't go out there and get bludgeoned around the head and shoulders by the likes of fake news reporters Jim Acosta et al. Every afternoon.
Speaking of the likes of Jim Acosta and those people, Taylor took a day off today, and I hadn't pulled sound in quite some time, Howie. And I forgot how brutal it is listening to Don Lemon laugh at us and mock us. And
you're not a boomer, but you're a rube
though.
You're a rube.
Don't get it twisted.
You're a millennial rube. Some of you are Gen X rubes. But the important thing to remember is we're all rubes.
And one of the guys in that cut is Rick Wilson. He's a and I'm using air quotes here, Hal, even though you can't see me. He's a Republican strategist, aka
another one of those who has found strange new respect.
Yes, he is an anti-Trumper.
Everybody, yeah, like Nicole Wallace
or Jennifer Rubin. So it gets worse.
Bill Kristol.
So he had this obnoxious this obnoxious rant on, I think it was MSNBC, where he compared Trump to Saddam Hussein. I don't even want to play that, but what I do want to play is Steve Cortez had an unbelievable response back to him where he basically said, you know, you guys call us these things, you make us feel bad. And I think he was kind of referring to the other cut from Rick Wilson that's in the intro. But yeah. I want to play his rebuke because it was awesome. This is Steve Cortez.
Is this Steve Cortez who just got fired from CNN?
I don't know.
I think he got let go. I think he was like one of the last ones that was left. You know, they got rid of Jeff Lord because he was pro-Trump, and then I think maybe Lawrence O'Donnell, the great fake newsman from MSNBC, a Harvard man. You can always tell a Harvard man, but you can't tell him much.
That's what I always say.
He was rebuking CNN a couple of weeks ago for saying, you know, they have people on there who don't hate Trump.
Right.
We don't allow anybody to come on MSNBC unless they hate Trump.
Well, Steve Cortez,
shortly thereafter, I think Steve Cortez got his walking papers from the Clinton News Network.
This is CNN.
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
That is.
His other big moment was when he was on with Anna Navarro talking about illegal alien crimes, and she started filing her nails. So if that gives people a little more reference to who he is.
Another never-Trumper who's made her bones in the,
yes.
In the never-Trumper. She's from Nicaragua, not to be confused with Max Boot, who was born in Moscow.
The funny thing about Howie, about Anna Navarro, is that my sister was in Miami the same weekend she got married, and my sister doesn't watch politics as much as me and my mom and my dad, and she thinks we're all I don't want to say conservative rubes, but she thinks we're all a little bit too far to the right. And she sends us a tweet with a picture of the wedding being all set up, and she says, oh, there's a journalist getting married here, Anna Navarro. And then the next line, she says, she's a conservative journalist. And
journalist
all three of us in the group chat said, eh. No, she's not. And she was like, what do you
That's
mean?
That's like calling Mitt Romney a Republican.
Right. I was like, Alexandra, come on now. Get with it. So let's play this Steve Cortez. It's a great, great, just complete rebuke of what they said. And I think it will make people happy.
Rick continues with these insanely insulting terms. And by the way, I will tell you this. I wear your scorn as a badge of honor. I really do. And this kind of condescension from unlikable elites is one of the reasons we won in 2016 and a reason we're going to win again. But for you to compare hundreds of thousands of Americans who've been to these rallies, these wonderful Trump rallies, for you to compare them to Nazis, for you to call us crazies. The last time I was on TV with you, you called Trump voters toothless rubes. For you to continue to use all of these terms of derision and all of this condescension, it only reinforces the need, unfortunately, in this country, the need that we had for the electoral revolt of the America First movement. And
I love that I wear your scorn with honor, Howie, because we always say when certain people go against Trump or when certain people go against, you know, these guys who at once really cared about being liked and now they see the people that hate them. If certain people think you're doing the wrong thing, you're probably doing the right thing.
As your great grandfather, the former mayor of Boston, used to say, Grace, every knock a boost.
Absolutely. My great, great grandpater. He was so wise. But I just find that to be so true. It's like the more you guys hate us and the more you deride and derail, it makes me feel like we all have to be on the right side of history with this because they're so obnoxious and condescending. And having Don Lemon cackle on screen, like he's so funny. It just makes me think, you know, I can't wait to win again. I really hope we do.
Let me tell something to Don Lemon, as Tucker Carlson calls him, Rube's Rule.
Yes. Yes, and we will have the last laugh. Grace's News is sponsored by Nauset Beach Inn. I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had a cheap Astor deal, and it was so successful, it sold out so fast, that the Nauset Beach Inn is offering ocean view rooms for just $100 for the entire month of April. Go to nausetbeachinn.com and click on special offers. That's Nauset beachinn.com, an ocean view at a price you can afford. Howie, I've got tons more news on the other side, including... Even though Taylor's not here, I have some Frank Sinatra news. So, and this is...
Is this about a toilet?
This is about a toilet, Howie.
I read the New York Post every morning, Grace.
I know. We both have the same taste. Do you notice that? And also, some Hunter Biden news, including some updates on his baby mama. One of his baby mamas.
Really? Is this the stripper baby mama?
If the ex-stripper, Howie.
The stripper emeritus.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, he met her. Well, I don't want to get into that. Okay, we'll be right back with stripper news with the friend of the barn owl, Hunter S. Biden.
Who?
I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
Experience the amazing benefits of Super Beats. Get a free 30-day supply, free shipping. There it is, Super Beats. I keep some around the studio here in Boca Raton. I keep some of my place in Florida. Keep some of my place in Massachusetts, my studio up there. Wherever I go, I have Super Beats in case I need a boost of energy. It's great stuff, right, Grace?
A bolt like John Bolton, in case you need a John Bolton of energy.
Bolt of energy. It's great stuff.
It really is. It's delicious. It does not taste like beets. Beets have a very blech taste, and Super Beets are not that. They're very sweet and kind of like a pixie stick. Really yummy.
That's right. Get a free 30-day supply right now, free shipping and free nitric oxide strips to test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase when you visit www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. That's www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I guarantee you will like the product. You'll love the product. So what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
The poll question is, after the latest revelations...
quote-unquote revelations.
Will there be witnesses in the Senate trial?
I fear there will be. I hope I'm wrong.
67% of people say no, Howie.
That's good. That's good. They have more confidence in our rhino senators from Massachusetts and Maine, i.e. Romney and Collins. I don't even know about the other ones, but I have no confidence in those two.
No, I don't either. But Howie, my question is, once they say there can be witnesses, they have to let everybody go, right? There's no way that it's witnesses, but only Democrats.
Don't you think, though, that a guy like Mitt Romney is going to say, oh, we don't need to talk to Hunter Biden?
Exactly.
You know, hasn't he got enough problems with his crack addiction and his rehab visits to every rehab facility in North America, and his kids and his girlfriend, who's also his sister-in-law? And you know what I mean?
Yeah, but if he says that, Howie, I'll never forgive him.
I mean, I'll never forgive him for losing the 2012 election. Actually, I'll never forgive him for losing the 1994 Senate race to Ted Kennedy, now that I think about it.
Yeah, so he's just on their not forgiven list, I guess. Hunter Biden agrees to pay child support to ex-stripper baby mama. This is what I like about the New York Post.
You know why, Grace? He didn't want to be on the witness stand in the probate court in Little Rock any more than he wants to be on the stand in the U.S. Senate in the Capitol in D.C.
He wanted to dodge his upcoming appearance at the 11th hour, so
right.
He decided to settle. And he made a last-minute, out-of-court, temporary settlement with ex-lover London Alexis Roberts, with whom he has a one-year-old child.
Named Burisma, a son. His son, Burisma Biden.
Allegedly, that's the name. We don't know that for certain. Hunter has agreed to begin paying monthly child support as well as back payments to Roberts.
Considering how much money he's made as in his career as the son of the Biden crime family, as the Fredo of the Biden crime family, don't you think that he should give her like at least $50,000, $100,000 a month till the kid turns 22, 23?
And I know he said this before, and I totally acknowledge that Joe Biden has had, you know, a lot of tragedies in his life. But this kid Hunter is a bad, bad egg. And if the shoe were on the other foot and Donald Trump had a kid like this, the paparazzi, CNN, MSNBC, it'd be like Roger Stone was getting arrested at midnight. They'd be crowding the house.
He lives in L.A. That's the capital of the paparazzi. I mean, do you think that that Donald Trump Jr., if he lived in L.A., would be getting his house would be staked out 24/7?
Oh, 100%.
Especially if he was living with some new woman who's now pregnant.
If he had children with several different women, yeah, there would definitely be a story there. Also, Howie, before I go, Frank Sinatra's golden toilets auctioned off in Atlantic City. If Taylor were here, this would be his favorite story of the day. Three gold-top toilets from the legendary crooner's chairman's suite at the Golden Nugget Hotel in Atlantic City went up for auction Sunday, where they went for several thousand a pop. What do you think, Howie? Is it worth it to buy the golden toilet?
If it doesn't have that new Al Gore flushing, that you have to flush it three times, probably is worth something.
But yeah, Frank Sinatra doesn't strike me as a global climate flusher.
Poop!
Also, Stephen King says Oscars are rigged in favor of white people. Less than 2 weeks after appearing to poo-poo the need
Who asked him? Who asked him?
I'm guessing the New York Post or someone. He said, I would never consider diversity in matters of art only quality. It seems to me that to do otherwise would be wrong. And now he's saying the Oscars are still rigged in favor of white people. So basically this is his mea culpa for saying how he truly feels, which is, no, you should just give the awards to the best movie. And now he's saying, it's rigged. I'm noticing that's a trend. When you're in trouble, say it's rigged.
Grace, here's my question. You know, if I'm the kind of money Mitt Romney has or Stephen King, why am I worried about what somebody else says about me?
You know what they call that? They call that bleep you money, where you don't have to care
exactly
what other people think. Mitt Romney's too much of a wimp to know that he's got it.
J.K. Rowling, the woman who wrote the Harry Potter books, I mean, she's got that kind of dough. She told them to bleep themselves. Something I look forward to every month is my shipment from ButcherBox. The box I got this month came with, as usual, ground beef. There's nothing better than ButcherBox ground beef. And I also get the chicken tenders and the boneless chicken breasts. They're free-range chicken. I never understood how good free-range was until I started subscribing to ButcherBox. And, of course, I get some steaks. I love the filet mignon, the strip steaks, the sirloin steaks, but I'm a filet mignon guy. It's great. And their bacon is fantastic, too. All of you existing ButcherBox members and those of you who are signing up today, I highly recommend going for one of those cuts that you usually only get when you go out to a fancy steakhouse-type restaurant. You know, something like hanger steak or flank steak, something you can't easily get at the local supermarket or even at the butcher shop. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Post your picture with my recommendation to your social media and tag me and ButcherBox and tell us how you prepared it. And for those of you who are on the fence, ButcherBox delivers 100% grass-fed, organic, and free-range meat with no antibiotics or hormones ever right to your door. With free shipping, ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get meat the way it's meant to be. Natural, fresh, and delicious. And to make things even better, ButcherBox is offering new members $20 off your first box, plus 2 pounds of wild-caught Alaskan salmon when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/Howie. That's ButcherBox.com/Howie for $20 off your first box, plus 2 pounds of wild-caught Alaskan salmon free in your first box. You'll never buy farm-raised fish again after you go to ButcherBox. ButcherBox.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. At this time, each Monday, we like to check in on the deep state doings and the nefarious backstabbing, corkscrewing, and double dealing that's going on inside the Beltway. And we talk with Joe DeGenova, the former U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, about what's going on. Joe, thanks for being with us here again on the Howie Carr Show.
Great to be with you, Harry. Howie?
Are we going to have witnesses or not after this this latest dirty trick by the embedded deep staters at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue?
Well, we shouldn't. There isn't any need for them. The impeachment case is non-existent. It's not just weak. It's non-existent. It's unconstitutionally based. It was predicated improperly constitutionally. So I think if the Republican senators stick together, there shouldn't be any. Of course, we have the weak-kneed and vicious Mitt Romney, the nasty guy in the room. Susan Collins is saying she's leaning toward asking for witnesses. But let's get to the end of the presentation by the president's lawyers. You know, it's a toss-up right now, but it may be that at the end, after the closing, after the presentation of the evidence, that enough senators can convince Murkowski and Cory Gardner to back off, and then there just won't be enough votes for witnesses.
You know, we talked last week about this Andrew Peake, this mole that was apparently inserted by the deep state into the White House, into the National Security Council, and he was escorted off the premises on Friday afternoon. He was supposed to go to Davos with the president last week, but they figured out that something was going on. Now it's being speculated that he's the one who leaked the Bolton manuscript to the New York Times. And the other people are speculating that it's Lieutenant Colonel Venman's twin brother, who was also like the Lieutenant Colonel born in the Soviet Union. And we don't know if this guy hates Americans in the record, talking about what rubes and bad people Americans are, as the Lieutenant Colonel's commanding officer has said. But who do you think leaked it to the New York Times? Was it this guy Peake, or was it Venman's brother, or was it somebody else? Who are the main suspects?
That's a very good question. I think it could have been either one of them, but the fact that Peake has been frog marched out of the White House may mean that they found out that he was in fact the one who leaked the manuscript, or talked from the manuscript as a result of, you know, his phone logs and whatever. But it's either one of them. The truth is, what it demonstrates is how bad the White House personnel office is, because neither Peake nor Venman nor Venman's brother Yevgeny, boy, if you can believe it, Yevgeny Venman, should have been there. But that's the problem when you don't take control of your government like the president didn't when he was elected.
Right. I mean, for once, he took the path of least resistance because he knew that he'd be criticized if he cashiered all these people. But he should have, you know, because this is a fifth column in the White House. And how about
look what happened to him. What happened to him because he didn't.
Yeah. And I mean, how about this video that was leaked, saying we got to get rid of the ambassador to Ukraine, as if he's ordering some kind of organized crime hit. He's her boss. she reports to him. If he wants her gone, gone.
He could fire any ambassador for any reason, including career ambassadors, because there are no ambassadorships which are career jobs. They are frequently filled by career diplomats,
right,
but they are political jobs. You serve at the pleasure of the president, and she should have been removed a year before, but Mike Pompeo would not do it. He said, I'm not going to remove her. She's the head of the LGBTQ organization in the department. I don't want to have a fight with her. If you want me to get rid of her, bring me dirt on her. And that's how the investigation of Yovanovitch began, because Pompeo demanded it.
Right. And let's not forget, too, Joe, she was born in Canada. So she's a noble immigrant to our land. You know, even she's a naturalized citizen.
God.
She's in multiple protected classes. It's ridiculous.
What can one say? All you have to do is spend a little bit of time with Canadians, and you learn to really love them.
I'm just saying. I don't think you should use the fact that you weren't born in the country as a get out of a jam free card. You know, that's all. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
I want equal rules for everybody. You know, everybody wherever you were born. You know,
it is a sad state of affairs that they have used this this immigrant status thing as a new way of creating an immunity, like there's something special about being an immigrant. My grandparents came here from Italy, and they expected only one thing: to become a citizen, to learn to speak English, vote, be loyal to the United States, and except for Franklin Roosevelt interning them during World War II, Italians have been treated very fairly by the American government. And most of us don't go around saying we're second generation Italians and it gives us special status. I am so sick of all these phonies like Yovanovitch, like that's something special about her. The thing that's special about her is that she's vicious. She's vicious partisan.
Yeah, no, she is, and again, she thought. I mean, can you, you know, if somebody worked in your law office, Joe, and was calling you and you and your wife jerks and saying you were unqualified and you should be disbarred. I mean, why would you have to continue to employ them? I mean, that's basically what she was doing to Trump, right? She was bad mouthing him to foreigners.
She was doing exactly that. And under no circumstances was the president required to tolerate insubordination. Now, she has never categorically denied, because she has never been asked, did you refuse to grant visas to the Ukrainians who wanted to come to the United States, the Ukrainian officials, and cooperate with our Justice Department? Did you refuse to hang the picture of the president in the American embassy in Kiev? Did you have a war room designed to undercut the president of the United States at the U.S. Embassy in Kiev? The truth is, she should have been removed in 2018 when word of her perfidy reached the Oval Office. But as again, Pompeo just didn't want to take on the fight. You know, at that point, he was considering running for president and blah, blah, blah. Now he isn't. So, you know, he's kind of given up that ghost.
You know, Democrats have, you know, Clinton and Obama most recently have with the day they came into office, they fired all the U.S. attorneys, almost 100 of them,
of
and they
course.
Fired and they fired all the ambassadors. And nobody said boo because that's their prerogative, is they won the election, you know. But now Trump does it, and Nadler calls him a dictator. And then walks out and orders 5 hot dogs. You know, I mean, he doesn't get picked up by the secret police.
Well, the penguin has conducted himself pretty poorly. I was listening to the president's lawyers today begin their first full day of defending him. And one of the things you come away with is the stark contrast between the professionalism and the dignity of the president's lawyers, as contrasted with the slick, nasty, political, just hucksterism.
Yeah.
We watched a 24-hour infomercial, political campaign, political theater, political commercial by the Democrats. I think it was demeaning to the Senate. It was insulting to the Senate. And if Mitt Romney had any cojones, he would have said, instead of talking about witnesses, "I'm so offended by what the Democrats did in this chamber, that I just refuse to even give them the dignity of considering witnesses."
And it was so unprofessional, too, wasn't it? I mean, you know, you were a U.S. attorney. God. I mean, if Adam Schiff had conducted him that way when he was working for you, I dare say you would have fired him, right? I mean, he came out of the box insulting the jury, right?
And, it's ridiculous. And I'll tell you, one of the best things the president's lawyers did on Saturday was play the entire tape of Schiff making up the conversation that the president had with Zelensky and pretending to be a mafia don. That apparently sent Schiff into paroxysms of agony on the floor. We weren't allowed to see his face, but I understand from what I've read that he was doubled over in agony.
That's what the senator from Wyoming, Barrasso, said. Hey, listen, I got to ask you about something else. The Justice Department has now admitted that 2 of the 4 FISA warrant applications against Carter Page were totally bogus. And they say they're not going to defend themselves on the other 2, which basically means they're throwing in the towel on them. I mean, what does this mean, the fact that they're now admitting that all these warrants were fraudulent?
Well, what it means is that Carter Page has a lawsuit under constitutional tort called the Bivens case for damages for unconstitutional spying on him, illegal spying. It means that James Comey lied repeatedly about that, but he knew that. McCabe has lied about it. It means that Brennan knew that the FISAs were illegal. It's a complete vindication of Carter Page, who has been smeared, besmirched, called a spy, just like President Trump was. I hope Carter Page sues every single FBI official involved in the process of approval of that warrant, because no matter what they say, they all knew that those applications were garbage, and they knew they were lying to the court. And it's a wonderful, wonderful vindication. Here's the problem. The FISA court should have been involved in this a long time ago. They should have been demanding answers, and they didn't. And I tell you what's happened now. The word on the Hill is that when the FISA comes up for renewal in March, people are working now on things that will say, for example, if an American citizen is the subject of the FISA, there's going to have to be a stricter standard.
Right, an ombudsman, somebody like that. You know, like, that's really going to work, right? It's going to be another reform that won't work.
Well, the problem is we do gain valuable foreign intelligence from the FISAs. Now, if they want to say you can't tap an American ever, I would not support that. But I would support saying if you are going to have an American, not a foreigner, I don't care about foreigners, you can tap any foreigner you want, but if it's going to be an American citizen, there's got to be a higher standard, and there has to be personal appearance by the FBI in front of the court, swearing in person that they have verified all the information. Believe me, nobody is going to do that unless they've got the goods.
Now this guy Boasberg, who's the new, he succeeded Collier. He's now the presiding justice of the FISA court. He's an Obama guy, and his father was a Kennedy guy, and so he's a lib from San Francisco. He says he wants everything sequestered, all the evidence, meaning that it looks to me like he thinks that everything they got off of these Carter Page warrants is the so-called fruit of the poison tree. So, do you think Boasberg, the presiding justice, is serious about cracking down on this? And number two, if he is serious, does this mean that Stone, at least at the very least, Stone and Flynn's cases are going to get thrown out of court?
Well, let's take the latter part of that first. They certainly could be eligible for fruit of the poisonous tree applications in their cases. Certainly, well, I'll tell you what it does do. It makes it easier for the president to pardon them all because he now has a free hand based on the complete illegality of the FBI and DOJ conduct in the Obama administration.
So yeah, just quote their briefs. But as far they've admitted it. They've admitted it.
Yeah, but as far as Boasberg being serious, I think he's been forced into a corner. This is an unwilling reformer. And so the only way you deal with this is you sit on these people, you demand accountability, you hold hearings, you demand transparency, and you make sure that they are, in fact, now remember, Congress has ultimate power here. This is up for reauthorization. They can impose any standard they want on the FISA court when it involves anybody, a foreigner or an American. As far as Americans are concerned under the FISA court, there have to be new standards, and there has to be personal sworn testimony from a senior FBI official and a DOJ official, because the people in the Obama Justice Department were not lied to by the FBI. They were complicit in the false filing.
I agree.
And all you have to do is look at John Carlin's sworn statement, the Assistant Attorney General for the National Security Division. He swore repeatedly that they were not breaking the law when they were looking at Americans' telephone, email, and text messages. He knew that those representations were false. He knew that they had not complied with the minimization standards. He lied to the court, and that's why he resigned at a certain point when the S began to hit the fan.
I'm sure he's getting a nice fat pension, and they're going to try to set up this guy Kleinsmith as the fall guy, the patsy friend. He's going to all the rest of them are going to walk away to the green rooms at CNN and MSNBC and the NYU professorships.
So.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think John Durham is deadly serious. His silence is so powerful that it's scaring the living crap out of these people.
I hope so. Hey, Joe Geneva, always a pleasure to talk to you, and thanks for filling us in on what's happening.
Thank you, Howie. Certainly an exciting time.
Thanks. I can't wait to the day when we say, hey, Joe, I got in my hands, I get this rather large indictment here from Mr. Durham in Connecticut. And Brennan and Clapper and Comey, et cetera, et cetera. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
The texters are saying that Pam Bondi is just destroying the Bidens and Burisma and the whole Nadler Schiff conspiracy theory. Plus, the former attorney general of the state of Florida is a little easier on the eyes than the Penguin, if I can be so sexist as to say that. 844.
How dare you?
Sorry, Greta. Why don't you get, Greta, get back the driver's ed, okay? I'll have a lot more respect for you after you get your learner's permit, okay? Is that an untoward thing to say about St. Greta? That she needs to worry about teenage things like getting her driver's license and going to the prom or the sock hop or whatever. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show podcast is brought to you in part by the Dirty Rats podcast. Everyone is raving about Dirty Rats. Available wherever you get your podcasts, as well as on DirtyRatsPodcast.com. Binge Dirty Rats today.